I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord, but are you at the point that I am where you finally realize that God is in control of absolutely everything in your life? This past week, well, actually a couple weeks ago, Leslie asked me about speaking tonight. And so I went home without a clue of what I was going to speak on. Not a clue. Now, I hadn't heard of the name of the musical. I didn't know what was being done. My wife and I didn't talk about it at all, and I fretted over it for quite a while, wondering, what on earth am I going to do? After all, it's the day of crucifixion. It's an important day of the year. What am I going to do with this? And so, I think it was about Wednesday night, I walked out and I said to my wife, I know what I'm going to speak on. She says, what's that? And I says, it is finished. I hadn't heard anything from her, but God had put it in my heart. It is finished. He is in control of all things, y'all. And it just amazed me when I saw that happen. And I don't know why it amazed me, but it just took me back. It is finished. For those that you are of you that are wondering, it is finished is in a verse in John 19:30. And John 19:30 reads as thus. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he says, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It is the very last thing that our Lord and Savior said on this earth in his human body before he died for us. Very last words. So if you think about that for a little while, what on earth does that mean? It is finished. Is he saying, okay, I'm dead? Well, sorry, there's way more to it than that. John 19:30, that little phrase contains more information than you could possibly imagine just looking at. What's three words in the English, right? It is finished. It's right down there with the shortest verse in the Bible, you know? So, as I was looking at that, I went back and I looked in the Greek, and the Greek is exactly one word. One word in the Greek. That was the last thing he muttered. The word is tetelo. I'll spit it out here in a minute. Tetelo. And it is in perfect tense, which means it's something that he said way back then that has lasting action. It is finished. To understand the meeting, we need to back up a little bit and look at some scripture. Jesus spoke the word on his crucifixion, and one of the keys to understanding it is understanding why Jesus had to die. It started way back with Adam and Eve. Way back then, the crucifixion was the central point in man's history, if you will. It's definitely the turning point for our redemption. As we look at the events in Genesis 3 of Adam and Eve, Genesis 3:15, God is speaking to Satan. Adam and Eve have already sinned against God. And God is speaking to Satan. He says, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Jesus was going to be crucified, but Satan was totally defeated. What a contrast. But you can see that that was the genesis of all things way back then. Adam's sin, Adam's willing transgression against the Lord. So the crucifixion was required to atone for that sin. When we look at prophecy and we look at everything that's taken place from then on, and you think about the Old Testament and all the things that were said and done in the Old Testament, the entire sacrificial system, which much is said about in the Old Testament, is all about Jesus. It is pointing forward to him. The people in the Old Testament didn't realize that with clarity, but it is the absolute truth. As we look back on it, all those animals that were killed, all that sacrifice, all that worship, it was all pointing forward to our Lord and Savior. Do you realize, though, that God the Father sent Jesus to the cross? It was in his will to send Jesus to the cross. Imagine sending your son to the cross. That's what the Lord did. Isaiah 53:10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin." Do you see that? God the Father loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us on the cross. An agonizing, horrible death. Why? To pay a sin debt that we couldn't pay, so that we could again have fellowship with him. We could again be in his presence that we were denied after we committed sin. If you move forward a little bit in history to shortly after Jesus' birth in the New Testament, in Luke 2, we see the account of Mary and Joseph in the temple. And they met what the Bible describes as a devout man. His name is Simeon. And Simeon held Jesus in his arms and blessed him. And blessed God, saying, this is Luke 2:29, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." You almost can't say enough about that verse. You see, Simeon was getting to be an old man, and God promised that he would see the Messiah before he died. And there he is holding baby Jesus in his hands. And he's saying, "Lord, you have fulfilled your promise to me. I can die now. Here is the Messiah." He not only said that, but he is the Messiah for the Jews and the Gentiles, both. Everybody is included in the sacrifice of Christ. It is all encompassing. If you move on, Luke goes on to say in 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Jesus came with a mission. He didn't just come to earth to be a man. He came with a mission. We should have a mission, by the way. Our mission should be the same as his mission. Our mission should be to seek and help save those that are lost, to spread the word like the apostles. The Son of Man came to seek and to save. Simeon, by the way, concluded his interaction with Mary with the following words. In Luke 2:34, it says, "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" You see, Simeon is openly predicting the crucifixion of Christ and the sword being shoved in his side. What a prediction from a man that had just met baby Jesus, and he's holding them. Now, with Mary having already treasured many things in her heart, it makes you wonder what she was thinking at that point. Put yourself in Mary's shoes for a minute. She's got the Savior for a child. If you think about Jesus, Jesus very clearly understood his mission on earth and that he was going to die on the cross. I can't imagine living your life knowing that it's going to end in agony like that. And yet, he was here on a mission because he loved us. And he was willing to do that. When he was talking to his disciples in John 16:20, he said, "Most assuredly, I say unto you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will turn to joy." Do you see that? You will weep. Why? Because they're crucifying the Lord, and the world's rejoicing. And then you will rejoice. Why? Because he's going to be resurrected. And they will see it. They will talk to him after it happens. So their sorrow was short-lived. In the beginning of chapter 17 of John, we see Jesus praying for himself. Did you realize he prayed for himself? Many people don't think about that Jesus actually openly prayed for himself. We should be praying for ourselves too, by the way. In John 17:1, it says, "Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do.'" Do you see that? Jesus came on a specific mission. He was here to save, and he finished his work. He said it there very clearly. Not one soul will be lost that's given to him by the Father. He's perfect. It's clear that Jesus' mission on earth was to save people from eternal destruction. I don't think we have a clear view of what that means, or we would be a lot more anxious to tell people around us. Eternal destruction, separation from God. Hell is real, y'all. It is not some fantasy. You can be a child of God or you can be a child of Satan. If you're a child of God, you will be with God. If you're not, you won't be with God. So, as we go on and we look at Jesus' mission, in 2 Corinthians 5:18 it says, "Jesus has reconciled us to the Father and has removed our sin from us." Quote, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and was committed to us to the word of reconciliation. Don't miss the point here. Jesus is bearing our sin and reconciling us to the Father. That's huge. That's a sin debt we couldn't pay for. That's disgrace and shame that cover us, and God is imputing it on Christ, not us, because of what Jesus did on the cross. So, with all that I've just said, it might seem a little disconnected. Let's put it together and see what the main points are of what it means, it is finished. First off, Jesus completed his mission on earth to seek and save those that are lost. The word tetelestai was commonly used for servants to declare that they had done what the master requested. So when Jesus said those words, he was speaking to the Father in that sense. Father, I have done what you requested. I completed my mission. It is finished. The second thing is Jesus personally atoned for our sin. The word tetelestai is equivalent of the Hebrew word spoken by the high priest when he offered sacrifice of the lamb, the spotless lamb on the mercy seat of God. Think about Jesus for a minute. Jesus was both the high priest and the sacrifice. Both. He sacrificed himself willingly for us. That's good. If that doesn't get your attention, that's just an amazing thing to me, and I hope it is to you. He willingly put down his life for us. Not only that, at that time, that was the last required sacrifice. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his, being Jesus, own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having ordained eternal redemption for us. One sacrifice, Jesus, willingly given. The third item, tetelestai, is also used in the world of commerce. It was used when someone repaid a debt. It was equivalent to paid in full, if you will. Okay, how does that fit? Well, that's not too hard to think about. Sin incurs debt. That debt has to be paid. That's exactly what Jesus did for his children. He paid our sin debt. He did what we couldn't do. He bought us out of bondage. Do you realize that you are in bondage to sin? When you sin, it puts you in bondage. Put the handcuffs on. Jesus bought us out of bondage. He redeemed us. The Bible says of this in Galatians 3:13, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive his promise of the Spirit through faith. You see, Jesus redeemed us. He not only redeemed us, but he fills us with the Holy Spirit. We have his power. Do you realize that? You are walking around as a Christian with the most powerful thing on earth, God's Spirit. We act like we're defeated half the time. And yet we have got more power than you can possibly imagine in the Holy Spirit of God inside us, willing to lead us and direct us. The fourth thing, tetelestai could depict a turning moment in history, a period that's ending and another one began. Think about the Old Testament. The Old Testament, that whole sacrificial system has now been fulfilled. No more sacrifices are required. The law is not being viewed as the way to salvation. It's Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Don't get me wrong, the law is still important. It hasn't gone away, but it has been fulfilled by Jesus. So you can see, it's clear, he has finished many things on the cross. Many more than you might imagine on the surface. And it's only God that could do this. It's only Jesus that could do this. It is only the spotless Lamb of God who went to the cross sinless that could do this. We couldn't do it for ourselves. You do realize that each one of us deserves death. If we were left of our own accord, we deserve nothing more than that crucifixion that he received. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Many people know that verse, but they stop there. They don't look at what follows, and it's equally important, because that verse goes on and it says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption of that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate righteousness because of his forbearance." That's a lot of words. What does that mean? It means that Jesus came and was the propitiation for our sin. He paid our debt. He took our place. And God does not hold us accountable for that sin now because he has paid it. What love! I cannot imagine. That's beyond my human reasoning. Our Lord loves us so dearly. His blood, his precious blood flowed down for you and for me. God passed over our sin that was previously committed. Praise the Lord for his love, for his forbearance, for his payment of our sin debt, for washing us clean in his precious blood, for reconciliation to the Father. He's done all of this for us because he loves us. My prayer for you this evening is that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you have been washed clean in his blood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that it is finished. I'll be down front after my prayer this evening if anyone would like to speak with me or pray. Or, Lord willing, come to the cross. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we cannot begin to imagine the pain, the suffering of Jesus on our behalf. Lord, but beyond that, I cannot imagine the love that you have for us. Lord, you are so amazing in every way. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for that atoning sacrifice. We thank you for that opportunity for salvation. We thank you, Lord, that you are willing to accept us as your beloved children, that you watch over us, that you fill us with the Holy Spirit, and that you'll walk with us. Lord, as we go into this week, I just pray that you watch over us and guide us, help us to be faithful representatives of yours. And Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know you personally, I just pray that they accept you tonight, right now, because we don't know that there's going to be a tomorrow. Lord, we are not guaranteed. So again, Father, I just thank you and praise you and honor you. In Jesus' blessed name, amen.